Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. After an unauthorized Mexican immigrant with a criminal record allegedly shot and killed a woman in San Francisco earlier this month, the debate over sanctuary cities has exploded again in a big way.
So sanctuary cities like San Francisco have pledged not to cooperate with federal efforts to round up unauthorized immigrants. But following the killing, congressional Republicans are pushing laws that would block funding for cities that provide safe harbor for undocumented immigrants.
Here in Massachusetts, there are six sanctuary cities, including Chelsea, Somerville, and Cambridge. Proponents say they protect immigrants who have committed no crimes beyond their undocumented status.
And critics say sanctuary for the innocent is one thing, protection of criminals is a different and troubling matter.
So, listeners, we want to hear from you on this. What do you think of sanctuary cities here in Massachusetts or elsewhere? Is it important to provide a safe harbor for immigrants looking for a better life? Or should local law enforcement cooperate with federal immigration policy, even if it means deportation, maybe even splitting up families? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And I'm joined in the studio now by John Tierman. He's executive director and principal research scientist at the MIT Center for International Studies. He's also author of Dream Chasers, Immigration and the American Backlash. And welcome, John Tierman. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Alice Wolf. She's a former state rep and a former mayor of Cambridge who sponsored the original Sanctuary City Resolution in Cambridge back in 1985. Welcome to you, Alice Wolf. Good to have
you. Thank you, Anthony.
And joining us from Milford, Massachusetts is the Chief of Police, Thomas O'Loughlin. Chief O'Loughlin, good to have you. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Good afternoon.
So I just want to give a little background because this is where we started the story, about what happened in San Francisco. So the alleged killer, Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, he's accused of killing a 32-year-old woman. He'd been deported five times. He had a long rap sheet. He was being held by local law enforcement before the alleged murder, and federal immigration officials had asked the San Francisco sheriff to notify them once he was released, but they did not because San Francisco is a sanctuary city. So, John Tierman, I'd love to start with you. You wrote a thoughtful piece for our Cognoscenti opinion blog where you say sanctuary for the innocent is one thing, protection of criminals is a different and troubling matter. So what's the lesson from this San Francisco tragedy?
Well, the San Francisco case is a little complicated because the killer had not had a record of violent crime in his past, which I think is an important distinction. And I also think it's important to point out at the outset here that entering the country without authorization is not technically a crime. It's a civil infraction. Doesn't even rise to the level of misdemeanor. It's called entry without inspection. So what I'm talking about in this Cognoscenti piece is to differentiate between people who have entered the country to find work, to support their families, but have not committed any offenses, from people who are potentially or have been proven to be violent criminals. And that seems to me to be an extremely important distinction. And we have to rethink what sanctuary means in looking at these two different kinds of cases.
I see. But does the San Francisco story suggest to you that the sanctuary movement or the effort to set up sanctuary cities needs to be rethought in some way?
I think only in the sense that I just described, which is to say, it seems to me that the Secretary of Homeland Security or some other federal official needs to speak to mayors of major cities and jurisdictions and go over what the procedures might be in the case of felons, especially those with a violent past. The possibility of actually legislating a solution to this in Congress seems to me to be nil. And so
we're seeing a lot of that effort right now. I mean, at least there's a lot of rhetoric down there about legislation.
Well, the Republicans want to do away with sanctuary cities altogether. That's not my preference, and it's not going to be the preference of the 200 and some cities and jurisdictions around the country that are sanctuaries. So I think we need to meet a little bit halfway on this in order to protect public safety. I would also add that I've tried to find some statistics on how many unauthorized immigrants have criminal pasts and violent criminal pasts, and they're very few. It's hard to get figures, actually. But we're talking about dozens. We're not talking about hundreds or thousands of people.
Okay, now, Alice Wolf, I'd like to come to you because you wrote that the first law that made Cambridge a sanctuary city back in the 1980s. Tell us why. What was the sort of original idea here for a sanctuary city?
Well, the original idea really was that in Cambridge and in Somerville, actually, in the region, we had many immigrants who had come to the country, largely fleeing persecution in their countries from El Salvador, largely, but also from Guatemala and Haiti. And they were, well, we viewed them fundamentally as being eligible for refugee status, for political refugee status, which, you know, was a very legitimate way of being here. In Cambridge, the old Cambridge Baptist Church had a woman and probably several other people who they had in sanctuary, and they were protecting, and who, if she had gone back to her home country of El Salvador, would have been probably killed.
Right.
And
so there was real sanctuary at that time from the kind of political oppression we were seeing in parts of Central America. It was a different time, though. Are they still needed today?
Well, just may I make just one other point?
Please, go ahead.
The one other point I want to make is that the countries from which these immigrants came were largely countries that our government had relationships with, you know, with their leaders in their country. And so all of these people would apply for this political sanctuary, and they would not get it. And it was really because we could not admit that they were being persecuted in their country because we were friendly with their governments.
Sure.
That was not true for other countries.
Yeah.
So now let's come to today. And, of course, nobody really wants to protect felons and people who are going to murder people. It's a very sad story in San Francisco. But in cities, we do have we have residents. We have people who are here, who are part of our fabric of our lives. They have families. Most of them are working. They're paying taxes and so forth. And we do have a responsibility, I think, as cities and as elected officials in cities to protect them.
Mm. And Sanctuary Cities does that in your view. So Chief O'Loughlin, I'd love to come out to you there in Milford. Milford is not a sanctuary city. You don't think it should be. What's wrong with the idea of a sanctuary city? Or you know, give us your perspective as a law enforcement official.
In my experience, I think most cities and towns are just that. They actually are sanctuary cities. It's the rare occasion that we see immigration officials come, for instance, to our community.
But just to be clear to the listener, Chief, because, of course, I mean, you say in most cases they are sanctuary cities, but officially they are not. That is, you're not prevented from cooperating with federal immigration officials.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, for me, that's the issue. You find in sanctuary cities, for instance, that the elected officials have directed law enforcement officials not to cooperate with federal agents, to not follow secured communities. So, you know, in essence, they are protecting criminals.
Yeah, right. So there's an argument there, though. And you mentioned secure community, and of course, Milford is what's called a secure community. Why don't you explain that just so we get some of this terminology clear?
The secured communities program is every person that's placed under arrest and brought to the police department are fingerprinted. Those fingerprints are then distributed out to the state police, the AFIS system at the state police. A copy is sent down to the FBI, and a copy is sent down to Homeland Security.
Right.
At that point in time, Homeland Security, when they run the fingerprints through their system, they determine whether or not ICE is interested in that person. Secondarily, if the person is an illegal immigrant, then ICE makes a determination whether or not the charges are of the severity that they ought to put a detainer on that person.
Right, Right. I'd like to ask you about one of the arguments in favor of sanctuary cities, and that is the argument goes that if local police are cooperating with the feds, they lose the trust of the immigrant community, and it actually becomes harder to do your job as law enforcement officials. What's your view of that argument?
We hear that from political people all the time. My experience is that's just not the case. I have a sizable population here that came from Ecuador, Guatemalans, you know, from Guatemala. I have a sizable population that came here from Brazil. The people that contact us when there's a problem in that particular neighborhood are the same nationality of the person that they're complaining about. I've had cases here where people were wanted for murders in Brazil. It was Brazilian people that came and told me that. So we have that working relationship. We deal with people of all nationalities every single day. I think to suggest that they want to have the bad guy living next door to them, I don't buy it.
John Tierman, I'd love to come back to you. You have a very sort of nuanced and a nuanced view of this. So I want to get your thinking about this. And one of the points you make, and you make it in your book, is you talk about when the feds move in and do sort of mass deportations, there have been cases where it hasn't always helped the situation in the long term. I'm thinking of a particular case in New Bedford that you described. So what happened there?
Well, in 2007, the ICE, which is the Federal Enforcement Agency, arrested 360 immigrants, mostly immigrants, in a leather goods factory in New Bedford, as it happened, making leather goods for the Army. 160 of them eventually were deported. Most of them were Guatemalans and Salvadorans, a few Hondurans. And this story, which is a very interesting human interest story, had many pieces of it that really looked pretty bad about the detention system, about how they were treated when they were first arrested, about families that were split up, sometimes children left without a parent. And the city had to scramble, the state had to scramble to take care of them. This happened a lot around that same period. It's somewhat less so now, these really massive arrests of 360, 400, 500 immigrants. Now they tend to be smaller in number. But in fact, altogether, the Obama administration has deported 400,000 people a year as people who are illegal immigrants. And so the problem hasn't gone away. It's just that the way that they're arrested and deported has changed a little bit.
Right. So, Alice Wolf, would this be, in your view, an argument for why sanctuary cities are needed, essentially, to protect large groups of immigrants from being swept up and families from potentially being ripped apart and so on and so forth?
Well, the situation in New Bedford was certainly a good example of how it is a good thing for the cities to be trying to protect some of their residents. These large caches of people that are just separated, families that are separated, children who are hurt, you know, these are things that are very, very traumatic and are not good for our communities and not good for what we feel about our own justice system and our fairness and how we want to treat people. I come to this partly, sometimes the political is also the personal, because I was, I left with my parents, Nazi Austria, and came from persecution to this wonderful country. And we only managed it by a thread. My grandmother did not make it because she was on a different quota. So you kind of see how the bureaucracy can have a very negative impact in a situation like that. So for people who are here trying to better themselves or who've come from situations that are either like that or are economically like that, which I think now fits probably many of the immigrants who are here, they come to community and they deserve some protection from in that community. But they don't deserve to be felons, and none of us want to see felons.
Chief O'Loughlin, I'd like to ask you, you know, from your own personal experience, where a situation perhaps where you cooperated with ICE, with federal immigration officials, and that really made sense in terms of making Milford safer.
We cooperate. I mean, if ICE sends us a detainer on someone, we're going to hold that person.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm coming from the perspective, and I respect everything that John and Alice have said. I actually agree. You know, for me, it's you know, when you have a sanctuary city and the requirement, for instance, Somerville, I read a piece in the Boston Herald in which the mayor said, well, we're not going to protect someone if they're a convicted felon. Well, you know, so if I arrest someone on a murder charge and ICE says hold them, we're not going to hold them, you know, on that detainer simply because they haven't been convicted yet.
Hmm.
And that just doesn't make sense to me. We've had experiences here. The individual who dragged a motorcyclist to his death, I mean, dragged him for over half a mile, lodged in the wheel well of a truck. I mean, we had that individual 2 years prior for a home invasion, for assaulting paramedics who actually came to help him, for assaulting the police officers. You know, so there's an individual that under secured communities, his prints would have gone through ICE. They didn't the 2 years prior.
Right. This is the case of Nicholas Guaman, right?
Correct.
An undocumented immigrant from Ecuador who was driving drunk with his son in the car and ended up killing a resident of Milford.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Matt Denise, you know, 21-year-old kid just riding his motorcycle home.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. The listeners, we're talking about the pros and cons of secure communities. We're talking about it in the wake of a story that you just heard Chief O'Loughlin talking about from Milford. That was back in 2011. Earlier this month, a murder in San Francisco by an undocumented immigrant. On the other hand, on the other side of the story, proponents of proponents of sanctuary cities will say this protects people who are simply trying to make a living. What's your view? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8253. Let's go to Blaine, who's calling from Cambridge. Blaine, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. First off, my ancestors came through Ellis Island back in the early 1900s, and I'm very proud of that. That said, I do have to say, both from a small level, I think it's time to do away with sanctuary cities, and that hopefully can segue into a larger discussion of really having the changes and enforcement in the immigration system that we really, really need. I would have to disagree with Alice's comment that a large percentage of the illegal immigrants are seeking refuge from political persecution. You know, there are thousands upon thousands of people trying to immigrate here legally. What do you say to those folks that are doing it right?
Hmm. Blaine, thanks so much. And by the way, I gave the wrong number a moment ago. You'd think I'd get that right after multiple years here. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. 1-800-423-TALK. Alice Wolf, go ahead, respond to Blaine.
Well, first of all, I would have to say that probably in the 30 years since the original sanctuary resolution, the numbers that he's talking about, he's correct. I think the percentage of people here who are now escaping persecution, percentage of the immigrants who are here probably is a lot lower. So that's, I was just giving the history to say how we got to that place.
Mm.
Nevertheless, having said that, I still think that it is important to recall these immigrants have come here. They've come here for whatever reason, for a life. We have to really honor that to some extent. And we cannot, to the extent that we want to have felons on the street, and we have to respond to those issues. You know, this is a lot of this is really goes to the federal government and to the immigration policy.
And I wanted to turn to John Tierman on exactly that question, and that is, to what extent are we having this debate and concerns and response to the kind of stuff that happened in San Francisco that we've been talking about? I mean, to what extent is that evidence of a federal immigration system that needs fixing?
Well, the immigration system needs fixing. One of the points I made in my piece for Cognoscenti was that, you know, when Arizona passed these draconian laws a few years ago and the Supreme Court overturned them on challenge, most immigration advocates were applauding that action by the court. And one of the things that the court said was that there was no question that the federal government has supremacy when it comes to immigration law and enforcement. It's in the Constitution. Then some of those same immigration activists turn around and applaud the existence of sanctuary cities, which, of course, is a challenge to federal supremacy. So it's a quandary. And they need to, you know, we need to have a conversation about this. Where do sanctuary cities fit into the larger scheme of things in which the feds really have the prerogative?
Let's try to squeeze one more call into here. Bob is calling from Pembroke. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering why it needs to be two choices, either deportation or in a sanctuary city. Why? Because I'm concerned that sanctuary cities sound like a means of avoiding justice, and I'm wondering if there are candidates who probably should have the right to have sanctuary, knowing full well that they may, in fact, be rightfully brought to justice.
Bob, it's a really interesting question, and it's one that I want to give my guests a chance to respond to. John Tierman, do you want to take that up? I mean, does it have to be simply an either-or choice?
Well, President Obama's executive order is trying to resolve that very question in some respects by granting a status, a legal status, to immigrants who have connections to the country in a positive way and have no criminal record. It affects about 5 million people out of the 11 million that are estimated to be here without authorization. That's probably the best sort of in-between temporary solution we can find, and but still we have this issue that law enforcement has got to deal with on how to deal with criminals, and I think that's the thing that's been pressed upon us by the San Francisco murder.
Right. Chief O'Loughlin, I'm going to give the last word to you. We've talked about the need to fix the federal immigration system, and I'm just wondering, from where you sit as a local police chief, what has to happen?
No doubt about it. I mean, it's a mess, and you know, no one's questioning that. It's just, how do you get at it as far as, you know, at the federal level? As John said, you know, the courts have said clearly that it's a responsibility of the federal government. You know, from our end of it, it's an issue of simply cooperating. If ICE has a detainer or ICE has a warrant, I think local law enforcement should cooperate with them and work with them. They have the toughest job in the country. I mean, people want them to go out and do their job, and when they do, you know, they're criticized from one end to the other, and I understand, you know, the issue. You know, John mentioned the situation down in New Bedford. You know, talk about something going upside down. Well, this is a good example of when things went wrong.
All right. Well, Thomas O'Loughlin, he's the chief of police in Milford, Mass. Chief O'Loughlin, thanks for joining us. We're very grateful.
You're welcome.
And Alice Wolf, former state rep and a former mayor of Cambridge. She sponsored the original Sanctuary City Resolution in 1985. Alice Wolf, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And John Tierman, executive director and principal research scientist at the MIT Center for International Studies. John Tierman, thank you.
My pleasure.
And you can see, by the way, John Tierman's Cognoscenti piece at radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, some advice on how to live to be 100. I'm Anthony Brooks with Jill Kaufman. This is Radio Boston.